Welcome to Leadership for Tomorrow, starting now. I'm sure you're not used to hearing this voice. Hello, hi, my name is Brianna Booker. I'm the Marketing and Retention Coordinator for the University of Wyoming at Casper, and I will be filling in for Rochelle today. And beside me is your familiar co-host, Dr. Hugo Santos, or Hugo.
Hugo's great. So, thank you, Bri. How's it going today?
Good. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for letting me be on your show.
Happy to share the spotlight. For the podcast today, I would like to start with one question. Do you know what are the top three industries in Wyoming?
I don't, actually. We've talked about it, and I it's not on my paper.
So we'll be talking about one of them here today. So if you don't know the other ones, please try to guess. If you're listening to YouTube, please add us a comment, and we will try to be sure to see if you get that right. Today, we're going to be joined by Haley Sorg, the first ever Worth Wyoming Outdoor Recreation, Tourism, and Hospitality Extension Educator with the J. Kemmerer Worth Institute, where she plays a key role in supporting rural communities and helping Wyoming's tourism industry grow sustainably and responsibly.
Originally from Douglas, Wyoming, Haley holds a bachelor's degree in outdoor recreation and tourism management from the University of Wyoming and a master's in arts administration and museum leadership from Drexel University. In this episode, we'll explore Haley's expertise, her leadership journey, and her vision for the future of Wyoming's outdoor recreation and hospitality. Let's get started. Hello, Haley.
Hi, Bri. Hi, Hugo.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah,
happy to have you here today.
Excited to have you. Before we get started, officially, actually, I was supposed to give you this from Rochelle.
Oh my goodness, I love this.
It was at a bank or something. She saw it, and she saw tourism.
So cute.
Yeah, totally thought of you.
Yes.
So that is from Rochelle.
Love that. Oh my goodness, Rochelle is the sweetest.
She's sweet. So one of our first questions for you is, tell us about Worth. What is it? What is Worth? We already talked about what it stands for, so I'm not going to make you repeat it again. Oh, I'm sure you could. And how is it important?
So, wow, a lot of really great questions right there. Worth is a lot of things. And so, as you guys both said, by talking about the title of who we are, the, you know, J. Kemmerer Wyoming Outdoor Recreation, Tourism, and Hospitality, or Worth. And so I'm sure people will probably hear us throw around Worth instead of saying that whole long, you know, throughout the rest of this podcast. But we are an institute within the University of Wyoming, and I'll give you guys a little bit more a kind of background how we got started, because we are fairly new within the university. So in 2020, the Hobbs School of Environment and Natural Resources down on campus in Laramie, the College of Business, as well as the College of Agriculture, Life Sciences, and Natural Resources kind of all came together, and they were like, hey, we should create the Worth Initiative. So we have just recently become an institute, so you might hear those a little bit interchangeably. But they kind of came up with this idea in 2020, and they brought it to the attention of UW President Seidel. And in 2021, President Seidel actually created the Worth Initiative into be one of three new initiatives within the university, which was really really amazing and really cool to see that happen. And then in 2021, Governor Gordon had the Wyoming Innovation Partnership, or the WIP initiative, which actually was the initial funding for the Worth Initiative. So we kind of kicked off things in 2022. That's when I got hired, kind of around that time. We kind of started to grow our team around that time as well. So kind of initially kicked off in 2022 and have been steadily growing since then. And then just recently, that is when we became the J. Kemmerer Worth Institute. We received a very generous gift from the Kemmers, allowing us to kind of solidify ourselves a little bit more within the university, which has been really amazing. And then our mission is to support, expand, and diversify Wyoming's economy, and then that's through that outdoor recreation, tourism, and hospitality. So very, very broad mission, as you can see. And how we always kind of explain this is that we really support our mission through three different ways. And the first way is to deliver timely and relevant research. The second way is to support workforce development, support our students down on campus. And then the third is through extension and outreach. And so to give you a little bit more information about kind of how we're set up, because, you know, we are a new initiative now within, or an institute within the university, We are a small but mighty team. We have about 5 or 6 of us together. So we have our director, Dan McCoy, and he is just amazing, really leading the charge with all of this. We also are housed within a bunch of different colleges within the university, which makes us really unique. So although we are the Worth Institute, our Worth team, we are housed under the College of Business, the Hobbs School of Environment and Natural Resources, and then the College of Agriculture, Life Sciences, and Natural Resources as well, which is where I'm housed under. So we've got an economist on our team. He's in the College of Business. Yeah, we have a gal, Jordan. She is our internship and career coordinator. So she works a lot with the students, that one-on-one, getting those internships connected throughout the state. And then there's me under UW Extension out here in the state, serving the state with what we have to offer from the Worth Institute.
That's so cool. I had no idea there were so many colleges.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to comment too, I should have disclaimer, I used to work with Haley at the Extension office when I was with Sensible Nutrition, and I didn't realize the extent of what Worth was, so I'm feeling a little, yeah, I didn't know you did. Like, I didn't know it was involved in workforce as well.
Yes.
You know, yeah. I think an incorrect perception that it was just tourism, but it's so much more broad.
It is very broad. It is very broad. And that's kind of why I wanted to go through that history, that background of like how we came together. It was all of these different colleges within the university really coming together because they saw the importance of our tourism, our outdoor recreation economy in Wyoming, and wanted to support that. And that's not just a, you know, one pathway approach. It takes all of us in those different, you know, aspects. Our economist, Morgan, he's amazing, does work that I cannot do. And then, you know, we've got, like I said, Jordan, our internship coordinator, and she's there working with the students, really getting connected throughout the state. And then I'm here bringing a lot of the research, the resources that we have out into communities.
To the people.
To the right? people, Very yes. Cool. And so it really takes it's the team. It takes the whole team. And so, yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that we are a small team, but we are mighty. We're tackling a lot right now.
That's so cool. I really had no idea about all of this. We were getting ready for this episode. We were making research on you. So looking into your bio, and you were talking about using natural resource-based tourism opportunities in a responsible way, right? So as we have our conversation, could you define a little bit about some aspects of this? So how would you define our natural resource-based tourism and like what is a responsible way of utilizing them?
Yes, so a lot of the tourism and the outdoor recreation we see in Wyoming is really based on the natural resources that we have here. And so I think it's great that you guys are doing your research. It's always interesting when people bring up my bio as well. But so this is a lot of the work that I see myself doing, working with communities, working with organizations, even individuals just around the state of Wyoming. Although I am from Douglas, based in Casper, I serve the entire state, and I'm really working with all of these different communities trying to maximize their tourism and outdoor recreation opportunities. A lot of that does fall under natural resources, a lot of those outdoor recreation opportunities that we're looking for. And so I would say, you know, doing this in a responsible way, you can kind of look at it at two different sides. We talk about responsible recreation and, you know, responsible tourism. A lot of that goes towards our recreationists, our visitors coming in. You know, we want them to take care of the land and the experiences that they are having here. So we talk about it in that side. But then also on like the community side, the organization side, when we're working with them on how can we make these experiences sustainable? How can we make sure that the tourism experiences, the outdoor recreation experiences that we are building up in these areas can sustain themselves in, you know, ways that are going to benefit not just the organization, not just the tourists coming in, but our locals, our Wyomingites as well. So how can we be sustainable in that? So there's kind of two different ways to look at that, depending on who you're talking to.
Right. And I just, so as an example, like, you know, like hiking trails, is that sort of the kind of recreational?
Yeah.
An example of what we're talking about. Okay.
Yes, that is definitely, you know, a way that you can look at it on both sides. You know, we talk about responsible recreation. If we are talking to the people who are going out on that hiking trail, talking to them about, you know, how can you recreate responsibly, you know, pick up your trash, leave no trace, those kinds of things. Camping, those things, yes. And then also to the organizations and the communities building those trails is, you know, okay, how do we be responsible in this and make this sustainable so it's going to impact your local community in a positive way? Because I feel like we hear a lot in Wyoming, you know, a lot of these small town Wyoming communities are like, we don't want the people, we don't want, yes, the traffic, you know, we don't want that. We have a lot of these, you know, things that come up, especially in Wyoming. And so working with communities and organizations on, you know, how can we do this responsibly? How are we going to do this where it's really going to be in a positive way for, not, like I said, not just the organization, not just the community, the tourists, but for the locals themselves, you know, using
the people
this.
Who live there 24/7.
Yes. It's a lot about that livability, you know, because I feel like a lot of these outdoor recreation opportunities, these tourism opportunities, they're not just for the people who are coming into our state to be here. They're for us as well. You know, most of the time when you are going outside, you're probably going to run into somebody who lives there as well, you know. So how can we do this in a good, responsible way? And that's kind of what that, like, maximizing that natural resource in that responsible, sustainable way, kind of what we're shooting for.
And I really appreciate that approach, because we know, right, having open up your doors to have people, and you being someone that is native from the location, can feel a little bit intimidating, or you want to be sure people are respecting your space the same way. So I appreciate that kind of approach for tourism. And I have one more question on that. So you were talking about, like, this is one type of tourism. Can you talk a little bit more about the other types that you are passionate about or that you work with? Is that okay?
Like, yeah. So there are so many, like, types of tourism, outdoor recreation, hospitality. Like, literally the sky is the limit, which is so amazing. Especially why I love this position within Worth, especially my position, because I'm not based on campus, and so I get to really go out and be in communities. I have an Instagram where I, you know, go around and take pictures while I'm out in the state traveling of, you know, this is my office today, and I'm, you know, out in the mountains or out in these amazing communities getting to have experiences. But there are so many different types of experiences that we have in Wyoming. A lot of them are, you know, we think of our outdoor recreation, we think of our hunting experiences, we think of people, you know, wanting to go out hiking and camping and fishing, and they want to go biking. That's what they want to do when they're out here. But also thinking about other things like agritourism. And so that's a lot of work that I've been doing around our communities is, you know, people come to Wyoming. They want to live the cowboy Wild West lifestyle. They want to come here. They want to ride a horse. They want to stay on a ranch and eat good food. You know, that's
awesome.
Yes. And so that's what they're wanting to do. And so then we see a lot of other just different types of tourism, you know, people coming in for history. We have such rich history. If you read my bio, my background's in museums. And so I am totally a history buff. So we have a bunch of very rich history here. So many different great historic sites for people to come see, especially here in Casper, where, you know, all of the immigrant trails come through here. Yeah. So many different opportunities. We really have quite the pull for people wanting to have all different types of experiences can really have those in Wyoming. And it's not just Yellowstone or Grand Teton, which are great places, but really the rest of our state has a lot to offer as well.
And speaking of your love of history, I think we have talked about before you used to work at a museum.
Yes.
So one of my other questions was, what was your leadership experience before Worth? And I wasn't sure if you would consider that experience a leadership position or not, if you have other ones that you can speak on or.
Yeah. So you're right. I did work for museums. So I worked before Worth. I was completing my master's degree. I was working for Wyoming State Parks, and they have the Wyoming Pioneer Memorial Museum down in Douglas. Yes, and so that's where I was working as I was completing my master's degree, really loving, you know, all of the state park stuff and all the museums. And although, you know, when you posed this question to me before, I was thinking back and I was like, oh my gosh, was I in any kind of leadership position before this? And, you know, I really got to thinking about it. And if you would have asked me at that time, I would have told you, no, I am a seasonal employee. You know, I am not a leader at all. But thinking back on it, I think that you do not have to be in those quote unquote like leadership roles, those management roles, to be a leader. And so I would say that definitely there was a lot of experiences from working with Wyoming State Parks as well as beyond that have kind of, you know, led into my leadership experience and then bringing that into this role. I think that yes, being able to work with Wyoming State Parks at the museum, you know, I was able to do a lot of really great projects, work with a lot of people, you know, kind of step into a leadership role in some aspects, as well as, you know, I think back to even earlier than that, I grew up in a household with some really great, strong leaders, both my parents, very much leadership people. And so I think that, you know, a lot of the experience that I've had with leadership that's brought me to where I am today is not necessarily being in those roles myself, being able to see other people in those roles and how I can, you know, take what I've learned into what I'm doing now.
With that, like, when was the moment that, oh, I think I can be a leader. I think I'm leading now. Like, what was the big moment for you? Did you have that? Like
the big moment. I say probably joining Worth. And so, you know, knowing that I was going to be the first extension educator in this role, that this was a new position that even a lot of other places in the country don't have. So there is, you know, I don't know if people know much about UW Extension, but we are in every single county within Wyoming, as well as on the Wind River Indian Reservation, tied to our land grant universities. And so this is very similar to every other state in the United States. They have extension offices as well. And you know, we are kind of one of the first to have somebody specialize in outdoor recreation, tourism, and hospitality. So that was kind of a big role to step into. I felt like, okay, well, what do I do? You know, I have no idea. You're the first, yes. And although I wasn't, you know, managing anybody or I wasn't leading a team, I'm kind of, you know, I've got my Worth team, I've got extension people, but I'm kind of my team of one doing some of this stuff. I was like, you know, I am a leader because I am, you know, setting the pace for some of this. And I wrote it down because I didn't want to forget it. But there was this quote that I found right before I graduated with my master's degree and kind of when I was still working for State Parks, transitioning to Worth. And it's from John Quincy Adams. And it says, if your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, or become more, you are a leader.
I love that one. That's really good.
So good.
Isn't that good? Yeah. And that has always stuck with me that, you know, you don't have to be in those roles, those management roles, to become a leader. But if you are inspiring others to be better themselves or to do more, that you are still a leader in no matter what you do, whether that is through work or through your personal life or any other aspect you want to consider yourself a leader in.
If you had to talk to someone now, for example, like, you said you didn't see yourself as a leader until, oh, I'm leading now. So how would you, any piece of advice you give to people that like don't see themselves as a leader yet, but would like to become a leader, or like I'm not quite sure about the path, like can you share a little bit more of a, you're so wise, I love that.
Thank you. I will give you all whatever wisdom I've got. I feel like a lot of people kind of feel like they're in that, you know, I'm not a leader. You know, they might be listening to this. I know your guys' podcast is all about leadership and they might be maybe searching for that, like, am I a leader? You know, am I a good leader? And, you know, there's a lot of people who really feel like, well, I'm not a leader. I don't manage a team. I'm not in charge of anything. I'm not a leader. And I think that's not true. I have seen more people, like the best leaders in my life have not been in those quote unquote leadership roles. You know, it goes back to that quote, you know, those people who are inspiring you to do more, to be better, those are our leaders. And I think that can be found in anyone. I would say even working with Bree over at Extension for a short time, you know, I felt like you were a leader as well. Yeah, I was inspired by you. And so yeah, you're welcome. And so, you know, being able to see that, I think we all have these leadership roles in us. It just might take a little bit of time to kind of crack that and find it. But some advice I would give for people is to find the leaders in your life who inspire you and have a conversation with them. Talk to them about leadership. I have done that more times than not, you know, gone and grabbed coffee with somebody and, you know, we're not going to talk work. We're not going to talk, you know, personal stuff. I want to talk to you about leadership, you know, because I see that you're a leader and maybe they're like, I am not. I don't know what you're seeing. But, you know, being able to just learn from each other. I think, you know, I saw – a great leader in my life was my dad. And I've had a lot of these leadership conversations. He is a COO at a hospital. So, I mean, in a leadership role anyways, you know, managing a lot of people day in and day out. But even before that, you know, just seeing him and having a lot of conversations about leadership and what that means. And, you know, it's about, you know, knowing what you bring to the table, but also being able to, you know, have grace for yourself and have grace for others. So that would be my biggest piece of advice is to, you know, say, go find the leaders in your life and have a conversation with them. Talk with them about, you know, about leadership, how you can better yourself in leadership if that's where you want to go. But also know that I think everybody is a leader in their own right. So
yes, yep. I agree.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for that. Yeah. I think that's amazing. That's really going to help someone too. Based on your experience, what skills do professionals need in order to work in this industry? So we're honing back in on this specific industry. What skills does someone need to get involved in tourism or in Worth in general? If somebody who's a baby leader, right? Like, what do they need to work on to get in this industry?
Yeah, so I think that there are a lot of great skills, and this could probably translate to a lot of different industries, but thinking back to more of the, you know, tourism, outdoor recreation, hospitality, especially in Wyoming, and so a lot of my answers are probably gonna be very Wyoming specific, but I think the first thing to really think about is, number one, your customer service, your hospitality skills. And so I teach a lot of customer service, hospitality trainings to a bunch of different communities and organizations. And I always tell everyone that if you work with people, you work in the hospitality industry. So whether that is, you know, we think of hospitality as, you know, our restaurants, our hotels, you know, those kind of things. But it's also, you know, our bankers. And it's also people who work at the dog shelter, you know, when we're going in. And, you know, it's if you are interacting with people, you work in the hospitality industry. So I think it's very important to know your customer service skills, because in this day and age, we are always interacting with people. I don't know many, many, many positions that have absolutely no interaction with people. There's a few out there, I'm sure. But in our industry, yeah, in this industry, the Worth industry, it is a lot of, and maybe not direct, like, conversation like this, but there is a lot of interaction with people. And so making sure that you have that good customer service, that good hospitality of, you know, how to greet someone, how to talk to someone respectfully, I think is really important. I think something else, and this is big for Wyoming, is your networking and your relationship building abilities. So I don't know if you guys have heard the saying that Wyoming is a small town with long streets. Have you heard that before?
Having grown up here? Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, there are so many. I mean, like, you'll meet somebody and it's like, oh, I'm from, you know, I'm from Douglas. Oh, my cousin's from Douglas. I went to high school with, you know, like.
I know somebody from Douglas.
Yes. And so Wyoming, I think, really is a small town with long streets. There are so many connections within each county, within each community that you would never know that are there unless you work on that relationship building and that networking. I think that within this industry, it is very important to put yourself out there and a kind of as a leader, you know, you being able to put yourself out there and get to meet people and understand, you know, who the players are and how, you know, to become involved. I think that that would be my biggest tip for somebody who wants to become involved within our greater, you know, Worth industries, especially in Wyoming, is to go introduce yourself to people, start building those relationships, start that networking. And I know that it can be very intimidating. I feel like I am just now getting better at the networking piece of things. But it is so important, especially in a state as small population-wise as Wyoming. And then my last one that I kind of thought of is, and I said it before a little bit, is being able to give yourself and others grace. So especially young emerging leaders, and this does not have to mean, you know, right out of high school, right out of college, you could just be changing careers and those kinds of things. But all of this stuff and getting into this industry and learning things, it is a lot of trial and error. Relationship building is a lot of trial and error. Communication is as well. And giving yourself as well as others the grace as well, because I think that's how we build up leadership, especially within this kind of industry.
I think that's a really good philosophy for sure. And I do want to, I'm going to say one more thing. Do you think that people outside Wyoming can mimic this, though, for getting involved in Worth in their own communities?
Oh, yes, 100%. I think that this is not a Wyoming-specific thing. You know, I think, you know, having that ability to build relationships and to network, as well as having your Yes, I think it goes anywhere, especially within our industry, around, you know, the world is so important, just because, you know, you think about tourism, you think about outdoor recreation, a lot of it is, you know, building relationships with people, it's interacting with people. And so having these skills is really important. And that doesn't mean that you have to have, you know, top tier skills, you know, but be willing to try and just put yourself out there. So yes, I think it's something that can be mimicked, you know, in other places outside of Wyoming.
I just wanted to comment. I remember being told once that, you know, everybody's in their head thinking they're going to talk to me. But if everybody's thinking that, nobody's going to be the person to go and talk to someone else. So I learned early on, even when you're scared, like you said, like it is scary at first, but really just putting yourself out there, you'd be so surprised. And that's something I've learned from Rochelle too, working with her. She's very much like, reach out to people and see. Like your community is your... they can be your biggest ally, and your, you know, they're your network. They're going to help you and you're going to help them. Exactly. That's what a community is. So, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that is so great. Just put yourself out there, especially as a young person or young leader or just a person emerging into an industry, and not even just our outdoor recreation, tourism and hospitality, any industry, just putting yourself out there. More than not, I found that people are very, you know, welcoming and very, you know, they want to have a conversation. They want to get to know you. They want to get you involved. There's been very few times where, you know, maybe it didn't go as planned. But so I think just really putting yourself out there.
Yeah. If it doesn't work in the first time, that's okay, right?
Yeah.
Go to the second person. You are not alone. You are not alone. Ideas and your dreams. You're going to find someone with the same, like, ideas, passions as you. It just sometimes takes a little bit of more time. But they're out there.
Yeah.
You find these people.
Any good relationship takes time.
Yes.
You know, it's true. So it's so important that you give yourself grace, give others grace.
I like that.
We're all learning, you know.
Absolutely. Every day.
Every day.
So in that sense, too, just talking about worth and like the skills that you see that would be valuable or helpful, like to build those relationships, to build those industries. How can worth help people with that? Like, do you offer trainings? Do you offer like, do you have big events in throughout Wyoming? Like, does it make sense?
Yes, that makes sense. So we have a lot of offerings through worth. So again, small team, but doing a lot of really great things. So we do have some events that are very much, you know, very statewide. So last year we had our outdoor recreation summit, and it was actually hosted in Casper. This next year it'll be in Laramie. And so that's something that really brings people in around the state, really focus on outdoor recreation to start having conversations as well. But then also we do offer a lot of different, you know, trainings and education and resources. I feel like that's a lot of where my position comes in, especially bringing a lot of that out to communities through our extension network and those kinds of things. So whether that is, you know, trainings on your customer service or your hospitality, or, you know, just having more of these one-on-one consultations. I've done that a lot, especially with agritourism, is working with producers of, okay, I want to add some kind of tourism element into my agricultural operation. How do I do that? And then being able to go out and giving them the resources and kind of a toolkit of, you know, hey, here's some stuff that you might think about doing. Here's some resources for you to use, and really supporting people through that. So we've kind of got, you know, these really big things all the way down to even just these individual conversations that we're able to have with people.
I didn't realize there's people wanting to incorporate that element into their industry. It's valuable. And
So do you want to talk more about it?
Yeah.
Let's talk more about it.
So we've talked about it.
Because it was the first time I met you. Like you were in a conference talking about agritourism, right? So yeah, I could just talk about it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love agritourism. I love talking about this too. All of these things. But I have really been working. So I've been with Worth for about 2 years now. But really over this last year, I've been doing a lot of work related towards agritourism. And so we in Wyoming are kind of lacking on some education around agritourism, what it is, how to implement it. We are. So there's this map, and so a lot of states have, you know, extension educators who are focused on agritourism. We do not. That's kind of a role that I'm able to fill as a tourism educator. But a lot of other states have things like agritourism legislation, a lot of, you know, other guiding things, where Wyoming is one of the only states that doesn't. And so being able to work a lot with producers is what I've been doing. And so for those of you who may have not ever heard of agritourism before? yes, I will tell you a little bit more. So, Yes, is a lot of what we see here in Wyoming, and we just have not labeled. Yes, we've not officialized it. That's a great word to say. We've not said, like, we are very agritourism focused. Yeah. You know, it is being able to connect people to agriculture through education, through hospitality. There's a bunch of different ways that you're able to do that. So things like pumpkin patches. And so a lot of the work that I've been able to do is being able to provide some education on, you know, what is agritourism? You know, how can I start to get involved? How can I bring that to my operation? As well as have some more, you know, one-on-one conversations about that. We have, like I said before, a lot of people come to Wyoming. They want to ride a horse. They want to stay on a ranch. Yeah. They want these agricultural experiences. They want to experience our Wyoming culture.
True.
And so we offer that through agritourism. It is a really great way, I feel like, to connect people to who we are as Wyoming. And like you guys were talking about before, our top three industries in Wyoming.
Do you want me to know?
Okay.
Okay. As you tell them, can you tell how they relate to Worth? Can we do that?
Yes. Thank you. Yes. You asked that question before. I was like, I've got an answer to this.
Yes.
So our
oil, gas.
Yes. So our top industry is energy production. Mm-hmm. So that is our oil, gas, energy. Those kind of things. Yes. Tourism is the second largest industry in Wyoming. We have about 33,000 people employed in the tourism industry here in Wyoming. Yeah, it's crazy.
Is that all over Wyoming? Is that evenly distributed? Or is it more because we have those big national parks that...
Yeah, it is a lot more towards those big national parks. You know, we have a lot of people, you know, a lot of Jackson is the tourism industry. That's a lot of what they do up there. Same with Cody up near Yellowstone. But we see it spread around as well. I mean, there is tourism jobs in every single community in Wyoming. You know, it's your museums, it is your visitor centers, those kinds of jobs as well, your hotels, your restaurants, all of those within this kind of industry. So that's our second top industry, and then the third is agriculture. And so all of these do kind of intertwine. So like we talked about, agritourism is combining agriculture and tourism, which is, you know, two of our top industries here in Wyoming. So why not combine them and why not work together? See how can we can support each other? Because a lot of this, you know, bringing in tourism, and I'm not here to say that every single agricultural operation needs to become an agritourism operation. That is not what I'm saying at all. There are opportunities, yes. And a lot of them see that as ways to diversify their income, you know, or to even be more of a passion project of, you know, hey, I want to give people the experience of, you know, understanding my lifestyle and understanding our culture and bringing them in through that. So that's kind of how those, you know, tourism and agriculture really intersect. I think as well, even energy and, you know, people don't think about, you know, oh my gosh, our energy and tourism, what does that mean? But we do have such a large presence of energy here in Wyoming. People want to come see that. People drive through and then they're going to be like, hey, what is that big wind farm over there? You know, and they are, you know, as they are just passing through, or maybe they stop and they're able to, you know, talk and ask questions, or able to see communities that have been very energy focused in the past who are starting to expand to be more tourism and outdoor recreation as well as energy. So we see that, I feel like, a lot in places like Gillette and Douglas as well, who have been that very energy focused, but definitely moving towards a lot of, you know, tourism, outdoor recreation. And this is not just for the tourists coming in, but it's for the livability of the people coming to work there within that energy industry. So those are our top three industries in Wyoming. They all do kind of interconnect. And I feel like people just don't think about, oh, how does this impact the other one? And they all really do, because if we are to lose one of those industries, it would really impact the rest of them as well, because they are so interconnected.
Yeah, that's crazy. So obviously you work with quite a range of people and fields and industries. Can you share maybe a success story of some of those groups working towards a common goal, or maybe a most recent consultation that you had where they successfully turned their agriculture business into sort of a tourism opportunity?
So I will say that a lot of the success comes from, you know, a lot of the work that's already been done before I even maybe stepped into the picture with a lot of these, whether it is agritourism or working with communities as well. I think that one really great successful agritourism operation that comes to mind locally here in Casper is the Bloomery. So if you guys have been out to the Bloomery, Kathy is amazing out there. So I've had a lot of conversations with her. She was on my panel, the agritourism panel, and she is just so great and such a great representation of the agritourism industry and how that can become a successful, you know, business for somebody. Bringing in these people, connecting them to agriculture, whether that is, you know, she is the local, you know, fresh cut flower farm, little flower garden, as well as does those really great summer events where people are able to come out to listen to a really amazing concert in her beautiful, you know, yard with that beautiful farmhouse in the background. And, you know, so although I am not a part of that success story, it is those, you know, conversations and those one-on-one, you know, talks that I've been able to have with her to see her continue to become successful. Yes. And then I see a lot of other communities having a lot of other success, whether that is with Worth and our support as well, places like Jackson. So we've been able to do a lot of work up there, doing a lot of research for them. So like I said, that is one of our parts of Worth is the timely and relevant research. So since we are a university and we have the ability to have students, you know, able to get the students connected to have real world experiences within research, as well as getting our graduate students to go up and do research as well. That is something that we're able to do with Worth. And so doing a lot of work like that up in Jackson, being able to provide them a lot of research so they can continue to be successful within their tourism industry. And then even other places, just providing, you know, some customer service trainings to some other organizations and just seeing, you know, the success that they've had with not only their operation, but with their employees as well. It really does. And so I think a lot of times people think of, you know, a customer service training and they're like, oh my gosh. But, you know, I feel like these training and another training we have to do, these trainings though really can be something to really build up a team. And so I think I can't give you a specific success story. Have me back on your podcast in a couple of years and I'll give you more success stories.
Sounds good. Deal.
We're
going to hold you to that.
Yes. But I think that we, with Worth, have been able to support a lot of success that has already been there, just to be able to continue to see it grow.
I have like two follow-up questions on that. Is that okay? So the first one, can you talk a little bit more kind of the kind of research that you do? So if maybe someone's interested about that, like, can you?
Yeah. So I do not directly do the research, so I will speak to it as best as I can. But within our team, we do a lot of research on, again, a very broad topic. So we've got our economist on our team who's able to do a lot of that work. He has done work for the Wyoming Office of Tourism. He's done work for communities themselves. He's even done work for specific museums on economic impact studies. You know, how are we seeing the impacts of tourism or outdoor recreation, those different types of things impact whatever the study is. He's even done it for the Wyoming State Fair as well. So those are some of the research we have. We also have some, you know, research on visitors, like who visitors are coming in, as well as some resident surveys. So that's kind of some of what we've done up in Jackson as well. I know getting some of those research students up there of, you know, visitation, those kinds of things. And so it's very broad. There's a lot of other things coming down the pipe with those research. And so I would say that if there's any communities or organizations wanting to do research, a lot of times they might not have the resources or the time or the people to be able to do it themselves. That is something that, you know, we are a educational institution. We are a research institution. So that's a way that we're able to really support this industry, is being able to help those communities and organizations with that kind of research that, you know, maybe they can't do on their own.
And I love that. I really see the importance of that, because as you said, you work with providing research. So you collect data, process the data, transform something valuable right there. You apply that yours towards the workforce that you because it'll be expanding, and then have the outreach, even like expanding the information, making them very applicable. So I really like appreciate all the well-rounded like thought.
Yes, when they came up with the Worth Initiative, great people, you know, Dan McCoy, our director, very great in, you know, knowing this approach of, you know, we want to have it really, you know, very encompassing of all things. And
it's
again,
like a holistic.
It really, yes. it's It really is.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that, especially as somebody who lives in Wyoming, who also participates in tourism and outdoor recreation in our state. You know, seeing the support that we're able to provide this is that it's not just for, you know, the big, huge, you know, tourism industry people, but it's also for our individual communities. It's also for individuals. You know, I teach classes on things like nature journaling or hiking safety. I know, Bree, you've been to my nature journaling. We'll have more information. Please follow our Facebook and Natrona County extension. So that is, since I'm based here, where you can find a lot of that information, or I'll send you guys more as well. But, you know, even just those kinds of interactions of, you know, we are going to go out and take individuals, whether it's 4-H students or whether it is just community members, and we're going to talk about, you know, responsible recreation today. And so it's that research, it's the education, as well as the practical implementation of all of it as well.
I was going to ask some more questions about, like, working with agritourism, and you said we're asking about, like, some success stories. For most people, do you feel like you reach out to them or they reach out to you?
So kind of to answer your first question real quick is, as of right now, I feel like it has been kind of 50-50 of me reaching out to people as well as people reaching out to me, just since Worth is so new, since I'm so new, you know, and since we haven't had a lot of this education beforehand, a lot of this knowledge beforehand, especially on agritourism, you know, people don't know where to reach out to. So it's still kind of that learning of, like, I'm here, I'm happy to answer your question, I'm happy to, you know, provide resources or give you connections to who you need to talk to. So it's kind of been 50-50 with that. And then I will say that with, you know, agritourism, like I said, not every single operation needs to become a full-fledged agritourism operation. We still need those people who are running cattle and who are growing our food. And if that is all that they want to do, that is totally fine. But for a lot of people, they want to become involved in agritourism. And so I was actually able to go, and it was last January, it's coming up on a year now, on a trip with some other people from Extension to Switzerland to actually talk with them about agriculture and their agritourism. I was there. They, you know, we think of Switzerland and we think of, you know, that they are, you know, the Swiss Alps, but also chocolate and cheese. And, you know, those are all agricultural products and people want to come and have that experience of making the chocolate or making the cheese. Or one of their biggest things there is sleeping in the hay, where you can just go, it's kind of like Airbnb, but just go sleep in someone's barn. I hope it's fresh hay, you know. They have people pay for it, yes. And so very similar to Wyoming, you know, people want these agricultural experiences.
Ideas for you ranchers out there, just saying.
Just make sure you change out the hay. Something that I learned while I was over there, I was talking with a producer and I asked him, you know, how did you become involved in agritourism? How did you know that you wanted to do this? They had a small, and they their head of cattle is a lot smaller than ours. It's like 30, you know, where we have, you know, thousands of head here, you know, huge ranches. But so they had like 30 head of cattle, but they were also an event space. And I asked him, you know, how did you get involved with it? And he said that it really is a passion. And to become involved in agritourism, you have to have a passion for it. You have to have that passion for working with people, bringing them into your home, bringing them into your life, you know? Yes, yes. And it being a good host, and it takes a lot. So you have to really have that passion for it. And he said that that is something that his parents had, that they were able to pass down to him and his brother, where they've been able to keep the agritourism side of things going. And so I think we really see that here in Wyoming, as well as everywhere with agritourism. You really have to have a passion for it to make it successful. And so I always tell people that if they have not had any kind of agritourism part of their operation before, but they're wanting to implement stuff, start small. Obviously, you want to start small, you know, whether it is, you know, we're going to have a seasonal pumpkin patch, you know, and it's not going to be a year-round thing, but we're going to have our pumpkin patch, and this is what we're going to do, and maybe we're going to sell, you know, a couple of goodies that, you know, our grandma makes every, you know, yes, the kettle corn. Yes, and so I would say to start small and then continue to expand your business. It's like any business, whether it is an agricultural business or any other type of business. Similar, it's agritourism. And so you have to, that would be my biggest thing, is to tell people to start small, you know, and really think about what you want to offer, because it is a lot that you are bringing people in. Then also seeing with other operations, we do have a lot of very successful larger agritourism operations who have been doing this in Wyoming for years. I think of a lot of our dude ranches that we have as well. You know, they have been doing this for years and years, and maybe they want to implement a new product or a new offering. And so they'll contact me or say, hey, do you have any resources about this? Or how can I kind of get started? Who do I need to connect to? So then it's just continuing to grow from there. Agritourism is not something that I think happens overnight, you know, but it is something that if you start small and just continue to build up to where your passions lie.
And like, just think about like how it can be creative too, right? There's so many ways you can have that sense of agritourism, and it doesn't matter how big or small your operation is, right? Like,
Yes. I mean, you know, like I said, we think of our big dude ranches that are, you know, thousands of acres of land that people are able to go experience. But then we also think of our local pumpkin patch that we all love going to every single year, you know, with our families. Agritourism is something that I think is so important to so many people's lives that we don't even understand it. You know, most when I'm talking about this with people who maybe are not producers, when I'm talking about agritourism and I ask, you know, how many of you go to the pumpkin patch or to the corn maze every single year with your family? I know we do. It is like an annual thing that we do with my family every single year. Everybody comes back home. We all go, you know, get our pumpkins, go through the corn maze together, get some hot chocolate. Like, that's what we do. And so agritourism has been so important to our lives, even if we are not actively knowing that we are participating in that. So yeah, I think that there's a lot of opportunities for people, especially within agritourism and even in the broader tourism and outdoor recreation industry. If they want to get started with any kind of business or offering, just start small and see kind of where it takes you. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Haley. I feel like that has a positive impact on not just the community, but the agriculture community as well. Yeah. So awesome. Well, our last question for you here is, what is your vision for Worth over the next year? Yes. And okay. And if the next year is like, oh man, just what's your next step? You know, something that you're allowed to tell us. I don't know if there's any like, you know, but
to be honest, was not even expecting that we would be here. You know, like I said, I've been here for 2 years, and then we've just got this very generous, wonderful gift from the Kemmers who have made us become an initiative now into an institute. Like I said, really solidifying and being able to broaden what we're able to do, and the outreach that we're able to have, which is so exciting. And when I got hired 2 years ago, I could not have imagined that we'd been here now. And so I honestly have no idea where this next year is going to take us, it is exciting. I am so excited. I see that our team is, you know, encouraged. We are really getting hold in a lot of communities. We are getting more known of, you know, what we're able to provide people, as well as, you know, we're able to see all of the new things. You know, we are still kind of a baby within the university of what we're, there is so much growing to do. And so even, you know, Every day is a new day. You know, people reach out with new questions or like, hey, can you give us a training on this? Or hey, can you provide us this? And we're like, we've never done that before, but yes, we can. Let's find that out. And so I just see a lot of growth coming within this next year. I see a lot of, you know, continued relationship building and networking throughout the entire state and really bringing UW out into our communities. And so I don't have any like solid next steps. Like, we're doing this next Tuesday, you know, but I just see a lot of passion, a lot of growth coming within the next year and within the next few years. And so I'm very excited and proud to be part of the Worth, J. Kemmer Worth Institute, and being able to see kind of where we're going to go in the next year. So again, have me back on your podcast and I'll be able to answer those questions.
Please come back.
Well, thank you so much, Haley. You've been amazing. We want you to know we value the work that you do.
Thank
so
you.
Valuable. So thank you for what you do.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. No, thank you guys. Thank you for having me. Yeah. This is such a great podcast. I'm excited to see where this goes. All of the leadership skills that we need, you know, throughout not just our Worth Industries, but throughout the state. And you guys are doing a really, really great job, great impact. So thank you for having me.
Yeah. Don't forget to rate us and subscribe. People who are out there, people in here, you guys need to keep sharing this.
Thumbs up.
Okay. Yeah. So thank you so much. Thanks for listening, everyone.